It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello guys, and welcome back to The Last Word on Spurs. Guys, as you should be aware by now, you can follow the show across a variety of different platforms. We are, of course, on Twitter at Last Word on Spurs. You can also find us on Facebook, and also, of course, not forgetting Instagram. Now, new to this season on The Last Word on Spurs, which I'm hoping you've figured out by now, we are delighted that we have joined Love Sport Radio, where we'll be featuring on a weekly basis on a Tuesday evening between the hours of 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. covering everything Tottenham Hotspur related. If you would like to talk to us during those couple of hours whilst on the radio, you can most certainly do that. We are on 0208 7020558. That's 0208 7020558. And of course, if you are calling from outside the UK, all you need to simply do is stick +44 in front of the number, and we'll be delighted to hear your views on all things Spurs, depending on who we're playing on the week of the show. Now, a reminder, the show is available to listen to on 558 AM and DAB Radio. That's 558 AM and DAB Radio. And the show can also be caught on the Love Sport Radio app, their on-demand app on their website. And of course, as always, we do release the show as a podcast for you during the week. Back on The Last Word on Spurs, our returning guest, Ian Gunn. Ian, how are you?
I'm very well, Rick. It's nice to be on this momentous evening.
Do you know what I love, Ian? You say momentous evening. We still don't get old, do we, about qualifying for Champions League, the draw. It's still a fabulous occasion, isn't it, for the club?
Oh, it's wonderful. This is what the glory nights were made for.
Yeah, and again, Ian, we've got some glory ties to be covering off, haven't we?
We certainly have. Yeah, can't wait, mate. Can't wait.
Great, fantastic. Well, joining Ian tonight, delighted to have him back on the show. A favourite of ours, of course. We've got Vas Kony from Hotspur America of us. Vas, how are you?
Oh, you're my favourite too, Rick. Nice to be back, mate.
Such a charmer. He's so kind, isn't he, Vas? Absolutely love him on the show. Vas, got to ask you, initial reaction. Let's get straight into it. So Spurs have been drawn against Barcelona, PSV Eindhoven and Inter Milan in Group B of this season's Champions League draw. What do you make of it?
Never easy, is it? I think the authorities saw how bad we were when we had an easy group. So the last 2 years, they've given us groups as hard as possible, it seems like. So, yeah, listen, it's what we're in the competition for, to face these top teams. We just seem to get them in the group stage and, yeah, bring it on. Why not? I think the fans will be up for it. The players will be up for it. I think last season will stand us in good stead because that was give us some confidence for sure. And off we go. On another adventure.
Most certainly another adventure. Ian, let me bring you in there. And Vass talks about it as well. And it's probably the echo that I want to say about the sentiment of it. For me, that if you want to be the best, you have to beat the best, surely. I mean, we shouldn't be fearing anyone right now. We've just gone away to Man United, smashed them up 3-0. You know, ironically, Ian, this Champions League group we've got here, you'd say maybe last year's was even stronger. I mean, ultimately, if we want to go far in the competition, surely we have to beat the teams like the Barcelonas if we want to advance, you know, to dream about a final.
Yeah, and it's interesting that we took 4 points off of the eventual winners of the competition last year. So it's something we can go into with zero fear and go out to enjoy it, you know. And, you know, the players, you know, like the Trippiers and the Canes of this world, you know, that they want to pit themselves against the best in the world. So, you know, why not go to the Camp Nou and show them how it's done?
Most certainly. Question in here, Vass, coming over to you from Sri S. Ray, who says, which do you think will be tougher? Are last year's group or this year's group, based on the teams?
I think it will be this year.
Really?
Because, yeah, the reason for that being is that the expectations will be higher. After what we achieved last season, and quite rightly, we're all buzzing after the draw and looking forward to it. But it will be a tough, tough challenge. I think we'll find a Barcelona probably in better form than we found Real Madrid last season. We'll find an Inter Milan who effectively came out of pot four, whereas last season we had Apoel. And we've got PSV Eindhoven, who've won 3 out of 3 in the Dutch league, I believe. Borussia Dortmund were still a good side, don't get me wrong, but I think they were going through a bit of a change or some indifferent form last season. So I think we played certain teams at the right time. We played magnificently and there'll be nights that will live long in the memory. But I think this time around, doing it a second time, it's always a bigger test. And I think that's why it will probably be somewhat harder. But that's not to say that we won't rise to the challenge.
I mean, we see last year, didn't we, that Spurs seemed to kind of ride on that underdog's tag, most certainly in the group stages. I mean, Ian, coming round to you, we saw, as I mentioned there, Spurs destroy Real Madrid at Wembley last year. Is Barcelona, Ian, for you, maybe the natural next test now to see, you know, where this Spurs side is at? Because arguably you'd say, you know, to be in this competition, you want to play the best teams, don't you? Regardless whether it's at the start or at the end, you're going to have to play them somewhere down the line.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Barcelona is the next stage in where this Spurs team is going to go, you know. And I think that, I think everybody was sort of like saying, I know we were having some engagement with John before the draw was made, and he wanted Barcelona. And I think that a lot of other Spurs fans, me included, wanted Barcelona because, you know, you have to pit your wits against the big teams. And I think that it'll show how far we've come or how far we've got to go, depending on the results of the two legs we play against Barcelona. And I wholeheartedly agree with Vaz about the draw this year being tougher than the draw last year for all the reasons he said.
I mean, question again here, Vass, from Neil McLern at Neil5000. He says, we should be looking to top this group and not just setting for qualification. On our day, we can beat any team in the world. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think every team goes into the group stage hoping to win it. And I don't think the mentality of Pochettino or the players will be any different. That's precisely what they're going to be doing. And as much as we've already said about wanting to play these teams, of course you'd want to play them in a final or a semi-final, which means that you've progressed quite well and in with a chance of possibly even winning it. But here we are, we're facing them at this stage, and we've got to be confident that we are able to get through this stage. I think the fact that it's a league format initially, all the groups, it gives us confidence, because you go away from home not really needing to win. I suppose that would be the case in a two-legged affair anyway, thinking about it, but it just gives you some breathing space. It's not knockout, so therefore you can grow into the games, and you know how to deal with it effectively. And I think that, as I said earlier, the last season when we had Real Madrid and Borussia Dortmund, etc., it's going to stand us in good stead for this coming tournament.
I mean, Ian, coming back around to you, can you understand supporters that may not want to face the best possible teams? I mean, for me, that's surely what you're in the Champions League for, isn't it?
It's interesting. Yeah, exactly, Rick. But it's interesting. You know, I can remember our first foray back in the Champions League. And we were up against, what was it, Monaco. Who was the other two teams? Come on, help me out here, boys.
Leverkusen.
That's it. Leverkusen, yeah. And CSKA Moscow,
yeah.
That was it. And I think we got two wins out of the Moscow game, the Moscows. We fell apart in the other one. So,
yeah.
You know, it's all well and good turning around and saying, oh, we want to avoid the Real Madrids and we want to avoid the Barcelonas. But why? You know, because... You know, as we've said, this is what the competition's all about. You don't work hard for 38 games in a season, you know, finish second or third or first even, to come up and not get a decent draw in the most prestigious European competition going. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Bring it on.
Most certainly. I mean, we showed last season, didn't we, Vass, that, you know, against the likes of Dortmund and Real Madrid, that we came to life when we faced the bigger teams. Therefore, surely we shouldn't be able to, you know, fear going into Barcelona or into Milan. When we have just smashed up Man United 3-0 away from home, can I just add?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we grew as a team last season. We showed a little bit of naivety from time to time. The one that sort of sticks in the throat was the second leg game against Juventus, where we switched off for sort of 10 minutes and it kind of cost us dear. But you think of the first leg of even that game in the round of 16, going away to Juventus. I mean, who'd have given us a prayer? But, you know, we had such positive and confidence-building performances against Dortmund and Real Madrid that we felt that we could go in there and win against Juventus, and you could see the disappointment that the players felt up immediately after the Juventus game. I think it took a few of them a couple of weeks to get over it, to be honest. That's the level of disappointment that they had. And I think they'll be rearing to go this season precisely because of that.
Let me stick with you, Vass. Question here from Jamie at Tubin, Jamie, who says, will the draw against Inter be as hard as when we drew Monaco from Pot 4 2 years ago?
Probably harder, I'd say. I know Inter are going through a difficult time currently, but I think they'll be out to prove a point. They've got a few good players. They've probably got one of the best number nines in Europe at the moment in Mario Icardi. Perisic has come off the back of a good World Cup. Rijon Nainggolan has joined them recently. You know, they've got good players. They've got a good side. I think whilst the Monaco team was a good team also, they had a team full of young upcoming individuals that soon got snapped up by the bigger sides in Europe following that particular tournament. But I think as a team and a club with history and as a place to go and visit Inter Milan will not be easy at all.
I mean, looking at the players that we've got here, Vass, I mean, I stick with you for a second because, you know, Barca or Inter, for me, I mean, they won't be excited when they're to face Spurs' players. I just can't believe that they were sitting there when that draw was made and they were looking forward to playing Tottenham. You know, I know the Spurs boys, you know, they're buzzing to have the opportunity to play against, you know, the likes of the Messis. You know, we mentioned the Icardi there of Inter Milan, but are Barcelona and Inter Milan's players excited to play against the likes of, you know, the likes of Eriksons, the Allies, the Sonnies, the Moras, the Lamellas, the Canes? You know, this is a Tottenham team at the moment that you don't really want to be facing, do you? They've got the ability, as we've seen, to beat anyone on their day.
No, absolutely right. I mean, we were in pot two for a reason, which says something about the credibility of our team in Europe. And whilst Barcelona and maybe Inter have got great attacking players, I'm not so sure how they are defensively. And when you've arguably got the best striker in Europe playing for you, and a lot of players with good attacking intent, then they've got to be concerned. And we have got a pretty good defence as well. So,
well,
that's
the most important thing, isn't it? Alderweireld, Vertonghen there. I mean, back to that telepathic partnership, isn't it, Vass, as well?
Well, they say that defences win championships. And they say things like that in all sports. You know, I mean, I follow the NFL a lot, and one of the mantras is defence wins you championships. And this is precisely what it is with football. Got a good defence, you've got a great foundation and a good chance to do something.
Yeah. Ian, do you echo those sentiments there from Vass?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Yeah, it's, you know, if you were, you know, sitting there, you know, and you're part of the Barcelona will take anybody. But the other two teams wouldn't have wanted to see Tottenham come up because they know what they're going to get with regards to a young team that's well-drilled, knows what it's doing. And, you know, after what we saw in the Man United game on Monday, you know, a defence that's well versed and in how to keep clean sheets. So I think it's going to be a really interesting few games in that group stage.
Yeah, most certainly will be. Ian, let me stick with you. I want to ask you a question. Pochettino, much was made of the way he tactically played out that Juventus tie last year. You know, first leg played so well. Second leg, many will argue that he was outdone tactically on the night by Allegri. How much do you think he's learnt as a manager? Because we've seen, you know, in the last games, couple of games so far this season, his tactical nounce of the way he's made certain changes, he's brought players back in. You see the way that, you know, he's kind of brought Alderweireld back in, Danny Rose back in, Dembele. You know, he seems to now, for me, be so much more tactful this season. He's learnt so much. Are we confident that his tactical ability, we're going to see it, you know, go on even more now to the Champions League this season coming up? Do you think he's learned as a manager?
Oh, I think so. I think that you've only got to look at the Manchester United game, you know, in that he made some really good tactical changes on that game. And I think that as a manager, he's the same as the players. He's a young manager. Was he 44?
And 40, he's 46, he's still very young.
46, yeah. So he's basically learning at the same stage as his players are. And I think that he would have taken a lot from that Juventus game at Wembley last year. I think he's brought that into how the team have started this season. You know, we've started strongly. You know, I think we've had one of the best starts we've had for many a year.
Yeah.
And I think that it's one of those things that you know, as a manager, I'm sure Pochettino can't wait to lock horns with the best in Europe.
Most certainly. Vass, let me ask you the same question, because Pochettino, we've seen this season, as Ian's mentioned there, he's been, for me, proactive rather than reactive in his substitutions. He's changing games quicker. He said, you know, for the players that maybe wanted away in the summer, you start from zero. We've seen Danny Rose brought back in. Dembele, well, it's like he's never been away. He's been absolutely immense so far this season. And Alderweireld, just watching him again Monday night. I did have the chance to cover the show, which I was gutted about, guys. And believe me, I was going absolutely mental where I was in Spain watching him. It was just brilliant watching Alderweireld and Vertonghen, that telepathic partnership back. How much, Vass, has Pochettino learnt as a manager in these last 12 months? And do you think he can apply it this season in the Champions League and take Spurs even further in the competition?
Yeah, I think so. I think you had Mr. O'Keefe on a couple of weeks ago, didn't you? That Pochettino's getting cuter and he's getting smarter. And it's true. He's clearly learning. I think the tactical stuff against Juventus last season, I think that was overplayed a little bit. I mean, that game changed off the back of two substitutions so quickly. There was really no time to react. I think Jason covered it in one of the shows around that time when he said that, that I don't think the ball even went out between the two goals, so there was no chance to get another sub on anyway or something silly like that. But that was really, really overplayed. I think the media made a meal of it because it was just something that they could use against Pochettino. But yes, he showed in the Manchester United game about being more proactive with his substitutions, but then he also showed it in the Fulham game as well. Fulham were getting back into the game. They'd equalised. They started to have a bit more possession, and he made the necessary changes. So it affected the game positively for us. I mean, even against Manchester United, the substitutions aside, I mean, to play Lucas Moura as far up as he did, I mean, that was a tactical, well, masterstroke in the end, because the guy bagged two goals and we came away 3-0 winners. So, yeah, he's definitely learning. He's a young manager. I've always said he's still a young manager and he's going to make mistakes, and he has done in the past. But as long as you make mistakes, it's fine if you learn from them. And I think he has done, and I think it will stand him in good stead going forward.
Most certainly. I mean, this is the thing about Pochettino. People can say what they want. He most certainly is learning on the job, and whether fans like that or not, we've got to stick with him, because he showed his loyalty in the summer when, you know, many thought at the time that no summer signings, and I was, as everyone knows, I was one of the call for the summer signings. But it seems to have got a group here that know each other so well, Vass, and the harmony in it, maybe, just maybe, I can't believe I'm saying this, maybe it could be a blessing in disguise that he hasn't brought anyone in yet. Maybe there might be a couple of players in January to come in and really push this squad on, especially in the Champions League potentially.
Team unity is key, Rick. I think in the Sky era, the Premier League era, we've become so obsessed with the transfer window because it is. I mean, it's showtime, isn't it?
For Sky
in particular. And they measure how well a club is doing by how much they've spent. And it's always, you know, net spend this and gross spend that and Tottenham at the bottom of these tables, etc., etc. But if you look at our progress, it's been steady and consistent as a club. And Pochettino is one of the few managers who can coach players up. I mean, you look at Mourinho the other night at Manchester United. I mean, the man was spitting his dummy out after the game, telling the reporters about, you know, all the trophies he'd won. Admittedly, fantastic achievement, but it's a few years ago now that he's won those titles. He was those three titles that he was talking about. So, and when his team isn't doing well, he just wants to spend more money. The answer is spending more money, and there are managers like that who just want to spend more money. Now, Pochettino is perhaps a company man. He's saying all the right things. He deals the hand that he's dealt. Maybe he wanted to spend money. Maybe he didn't. We'll never really know because we're not party to those conversations. But he's clearly got the capacity to coach players up. And team unity is absolutely everything. The best teams that win trophies are the ones that have the best harmony amongst their players. And that is so important to Pochettino. That's why he's prepared to move players on if they disrupt what he's trying to build there.
It's about moving players on, Ian, but isn't one of the things we've seen from Pochettino this season, and something we haven't seen in previous seasons, that, you know, when players have maybe angled for a move away, he's been quick to move them on. And what he seems to have done this season is say, look, we're starting from zero, forget what's happened in the past, I'm bringing you back in. If you play like, you know, you should do, and you put in 100%, you're staying the team. And we've seen Danny Rose's comments this week that, you know, he can't thank Pochettino enough for giving him that start on Monday night against Man United. He wasn't expecting it. Is that where, again, Ian, is a masterstroke here, where Pochettino is learning from his mistakes with players, Alderweireld especially, keeping him, and you see the way he and Vertonghen, it was like they'd never been away. Surely going into this Champions League, you know, group stage, having those two players at the back is absolutely key. Like Vass says, a solid defence is the foundations to a real, real successful team.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I saw you know, some of the, you know, I watched the game on Monday night up over at my son's house, and it was just I was reminded of those little clips that people keep showing of you know, when Alderweireld was playing for us against Dortmund at White Hart Lane, and there was some of that, there was just those lovely little moments where he just managed to take the ball off of a Manchester United player, you know, as in that sort of calm way that he does. And of course, Vertonghen looks so much more comfortable,
yeah,
you know, in alongside him, and I'm gonna do my Jason bit now, and it's lovely for Danny Rose to sort of like come up with that. He now needs to reward Pochettino and the club.
Spot on. Yeah.
With getting down and doing some hard work and getting back to the Danny Rose of 2015-16.
Yeah.
You know, and he has to do that because of the faith that the manager's shown on him. You know, and because as you quite rightly say, you know, a successful Champions League and league campaign this year will be based, as Vass says, on a decent defence.
Sticking with the defence, back to you, Vass. Danny Rose, got to ask you about him. If Pochettino can get Danny back to the player he was in that 15-16 season, surely we've got not only one of the best left backs in the Premier League, but one of the best in Europe going into this Champions League campaign. Big if, I know.
Yeah, I don't know if Danny Rose is still that player, if I'm honest with you. I hope he is, and I hope he can get back to that kind of form. That's a tricky one. I think this whole thing about reintegrating players, starting them again from zero, etc., that may be partly to do with the culmination of things. One, because we didn't bring anybody in. Two, there wasn't really a market for Alderweireld in the end. You know, he wanted to move and nobody was prepared to stump up the cash. There wasn't any real interest in Danny Rose because his form's not what he's not the player he used to be. So perhaps Pochettino played it somewhat smartly and says, OK, we're going to start from scratch now. This is where we are. And you've all got a chance, and that, if that motivates them. I mean, it's good to hear. I think there was a report coming out of Holland that Spurs are going to make one last effort to, not Holland, Belgium, sorry. One of the news agencies that are close to the Belgian players. There was a report coming out that Spurs are going to make one last effort to renegotiate a contract with Alderweireld. Maybe it's an opportune time to do that, and maybe we'll have some success and we'll keep the guy. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting if Danny Rose ever becomes that player again, but I hope so.
Fingers crossed. Well, got to ask the question here. I mean, we've got a load of questions in, and this is some crackers one here. I've got to ask if you have to stick with you. Devrick and Pay says, Messi v Sissoko, does it get any better than this?
Oh, I'm sure Messi's quaking in his boots right now.
I bet he is.
he'll feign injury, just not so he won't have to play probably that game.
Oh, I bet. I mean, Ian, come out of you. We can't wait to see the greatest player playing on the turf. It'll be nice to see Messi as well playing against Kane, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it will be. And I said that the Barcelona defence will not want to come up against Harry Kane. That's coming back to the Sissoko Messi thing. You know, I think Messi will be quaking in his boots because he'll be the same as the rest of us. He won't know what Sissoko's going to do until Sissoko's done it. You know, so it's one of those things where it's all up in the melting pot when it comes to blooming Sissoko.
There'll be an inquest if Sissoko's even on the field for that game, wouldn't there, Vass?
Quite possibly, but you never know. You know, stranger things have happened. I think didn't Sissoko start in Madrid or something?
He did. Yeah, he did.
So you never know. These sometimes pay off, don't they?
He had a decent game over there, didn't he?
He did. Yeah,
to be fair to him, he did. I think many us to Stamboul, he's still here. Like, he's a competition winner that's got lost in the background. He's still at the club. I mean, another cracking question. Spurs in Barcelona says, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much is Messi shitting himself right now? Come on, Vass, give us a number 1 to 10.
I'd love to say 11, but I can't see it. Somehow, I don't think Messi's scared of anyone, is he really? He just turns up, does his thing, and then picks up his boots and slings them over his shoulder and goes home again, doesn't he? The guy's class. I mean, maybe I'd love to say he's sort of peaked and he's, you know, coming towards the twilight years of his career, but you never can tell with Lionel Messi. I mean, he's a supreme talent.
Wonderful player. But, I mean, isn't it great, Vass? Listen, put the game to one side. I still would say put the game to one side. But having, you know, being there to watch him live, Messi. I know we shouldn't focus on opposition players, but it will be great to see him when it up against us. That's what you want to see. You want to see the best players.
Most definitely. Most definitely. So that will be a big boon for a lot of Spurs fans to see Messi and, well, we're going to see Suarez as well. Comes as a package, doesn't it? But there, you know, a lot of good players in that Barcelona side, and I think the crowd will be up for it, and it'll be another electric evening. But the only thing we don't know is where that electricity will be, whether it's going to be at Wembley or a new stadium.
Well, that's it. That's Ray Gritt asked the same question. Will the ground be ready for that home tie against Barcelona? At the moment, we don't know. We don't know if that's the case. What we do know is the club have already agreed with UEFA that the first home group match in the competition will definitely be staged at Wembley. And they are going to provide further updates on the venue for our remaining two home group matches as soon as it's confirmed. So we don't know where it's going to be, Vass. What's your gut telling you on that?
That's a tricky one. I think, was it the Mirror that were reporting today that UEFA might make us play all three group games at Wembley because they don't feel that the stadium would be ready? I mean, I don't know how they get that information, because the only people that will know that would probably be Daniel Levy and the board and the builders at in Tottenham. So it's a tricky one. I mean, match day one is 18th, 19th of September, so there's no chance of that. I mean, match day two is 2nd or 3rd of October. That's going to look unlikely as well, unless we get maybe an away game in one of those two first fixtures. Match day three is not till 23rd, 24th of October. So if they do feel like they can get the stadium ready by mid-October, then that's great. But, you know, the way it's going at the moment, there's no real news coming out as to progress. I would have liked to have heard something from the club since they announced that the stadium would be delayed. I know that Daniel Levy was apparently trying to get some definite arrangements in place for the Man City game, but we've still not heard anything. It's all a bit up in the air at the moment, which is not ideal.
Ian, what's your thoughts at the moment on the whole issue about, you know, Champions League games, where they're going to be played? Are we maybe going to accept that the group stage games might just be at Wembley? Can we accept that, do you think?
I think we might have to. I'd love for us to play Barcelona at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I can't see it. I think that the group games will be at Wembley. It's a shame because, you know, that's what the stadium was sort of built with those sort of games in mind, and, you know, and if the stadium could be ready, then that'd be great. You know, it's interesting because, you know, that it, you know, been keeping an eye on its progress, and things seem to be sort of just bubbling up nicely. You know, the cladding seems to be coming on, and the compression ring at the top, you know, the little eaves at the top seem to be slotting into place. So, you know, whilst we're doing all of the talking and the wondering, I'm wondering whether they're just sort of getting on with it slowly and you know, and in a couple of months, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, we'll get an announcement. Because don't forget, there's a lot of test matches or
that's
test
right. It's going to be at least two, isn't it? That, at least two test matches have to be formed in that stadium, the new one, to get the safety certificate.
Yeah, so you know, that's going to have to get slotted in somehow, and we'll see where we go with it. But I'm almost certain that. That we'll all be clamouring for tickets to see Barcelona at Wembley. I can just see it.
Yeah, myself.
You know what? I think possibly with these ties now, as they've been drawn, and the group being as hard potentially as well as big a draw as it is now, I think there'll be a lot of big demand for tickets.
Mm.
You could almost see Tottenham thinking, well, you know what? Let's just stay at Wembley. Mm. You know, we'll sell more tickets.
Yep.
Fill out the place. I mean, I admire Daniel Levy for what he tried to do. You know, to get that stadium built and ready in just over a year is ridiculous. Ambitious project, and he's almost done it. But in some ways now, I'm thinking it may, and as disappointing as it would be for us, it might just be worth someone at the club coming out and saying, you know what, we're just going to wait, and we won't be in the new stadium until 1st of December or something like that. It's just give us a date that's going to be comfortable for everyone.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, you know, my street cred's going to plummet now. But one of the chaps at work supports the other lot. And he was saying that when they moved into to the Emirates, it was one of those, there was a lot of little things to do whilst they'd moved in. So it might be a good idea just to get all of the work done and dusted before we move in, you know, just so that we move into something that isn't still sort of a work in progress behind the scenes.
Good point. I mean, I've got to ask you, chaps, then. So, question from Matt Jarvis, just to round up on the Champions League draw. Big one. How far can this Spurs team go this year? Let's start with you, Ian.
So, where did we get last year?
Well, last year, obviously, we had Real Madrid, we had Borussia Dortmund.
We had we got to the round of 16, didn't we, last year?
Round of 16.
So you're going on what, when you've asked me this question before, Rick, about league positions and all of that, I always say that this side has to go at least one or two better.
And that means semi-finals, then, Ian?
Yeah.
Definitely. No pressure.
Why not? No pressure. That, you know, let's be honest. You know, I saw somebody say the other day that this Spurs side are fearless, and what, you know, let them take that fearlessness into the Champions League and see where we get.
Interesting. Vass, let's get your thoughts then on this group stage draw. Round it up.
What, where we'd finish in the draw?
Where do you want to see Phil and Spurs can go in the competition as a whole? We'll answer Matt's question. What do you think?
I think we've got to be aiming quarterfinals. I mean, the group is going to be tough, don't get me wrong, but we've got to be aiming. I'll be happy if we get to the quarterfinals, but tell you what, I'll be disappointed if we don't win it.
There's the Tottenham coming through. There's the Tottenham coming through. Love it. Fantastic. Oh, dear. Well, there you go. I mean, I honestly believe there's absolutely no reason why we can't match, you know, last season's efforts of quarterfinals even further. I do think, as I've said, Pochettino's got cuter in his tactics. You know, this team, it's growing season upon season. The players know each other well. And who knows? I hate to mention the transfer window because Jason's probably pulling his hair out already. Well, there hasn't got any left. That, you know, with a couple of additions in January, no matter what happens in that market, you know, maybe we could go even further. We'll have to see. Chaps, we're going to move it on to the League Cup draw, which there's also been tonight. So, two draws in one. We've been given a home draw. I say the word home in inverted commas because at the moment the club are trying to find out if we can have the ground moved for the third round tie against Watford. Now, this fixture itself is scheduled to take place on the week commencing on the 24th of September. As things stand, as a result of both our new stadium and Wembley being unavailable during that exact week, we've applied to the EFL board for special dispensation to play the tie at Stadium MK. Now, it's fair to say the club have already admitted that the ground itself is not going to be obviously in favour of all the Spurs fans. They appreciate it's outside the M25. It's not ideal for travelling supporters. And the irony is, coming over to you, Vass, that Spurs, the game itself, I think Watford are going to be closer and they're meant to be the away team.
Yeah, that's right. So if the tie was drawn and we were playing at Watford, I guess Milton Keynes is only adding about, I don't know, half hour, 40 minutes to your journey. So it's not a million miles away. I can understand that a lot of fans living in London won't really enjoy travelling to Milton Keynes. But, you know, just treat it as an away game. If we'd have got drawn away, you might have gone. You don't have to go, I suppose. But, yeah, it's not a million miles away. I think people travel all the time from all sorts of different places. And I know we've got a good following of supporters in Hertfordshire as well. So Milton Keynes isn't a million miles away. I think for one game, we should be able to just swallow it and get up there and support the team.
Most certainly. Ian, I left you there till last, as they last out the three of us, because you are going to be one of them that I know you. You'll probably be travelling no matter where Spurs are playing. So let's get your thoughts on it as a season ticket holder as well in relation to this fixture, where it's going to be held.
I think that Milton Keynes makes sense. You've only got to look at the attendances for this competition at White Hart Lane and at Wembley the last few seasons to see that, you know, what have we had, like 25,000, 28,000, you know, which you know will adequately, you know, take the amount of people that can fit in K Dons, which I think, well, you know, why not? And yes, I will probably be applying for a ticket to go up to Milton Keynes. Why not? It would be another ground out of the 92 that, you know, that people might want to go to that we'll never go to again. So it's it'll have its novelty value. And as you say, we're Spurs fans after all. You know, I'd go and watch them down the park if they were playing. So, you know, it's one.
It might
of those
be down the park, Ian, if it doesn't come off for MK Dons. It might well be.
Well, there's some decent parks around the Reading area, but there we are. But in all seriousness, you know, I think that, it's a cup competition. You know, we've been drawn in it. You know, we'd like to progress in it. And, you know, and it's up to the Spurs fans to go and make whatever ground we're playing in feel like a home ground.
Yeah.
I can remember years ago us going, and I'm showing the age now, going to an FA Cup semi-final replay at Highbury, and by Christ, you know, we certainly made that place feel like a home ground when we played that game. So I don't really care where it is.
Okay, well, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, Vass, bringing it back round to you, the club haven't really, Vass, had much choice, have they, with this? I mean, to be fair to them, it's got to be held somewhere. And to be fair, you'd say logically on paper, where else can they go now apart from MK Dons? It seems like the next logical step. And Dele Alli, it's a home fixture for him, Vass, isn't it? He's going back home.
Yeah, I suppose so. I don't think the fans would have liked to have seen us play this match at, you know, one of the other London clubs' stadiums, to be honest. Obviously, we couldn't go to Watford because then it'll make it a home game for them. Very short on options, really. And as I said before, it's only a one-off. I think we'll just have to swallow it. It's just a shame that all this stadium stuff hasn't been resolved yet. But if it's just a one-off, then we'll just swallow it and we carry on.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I think it's one of those things the club haven't had much of a choice. And to be fair to them, they've acknowledged in their statement, in case you guys haven't read it, they've absolutely acknowledged the fact that it's not ideal for supporters. They haven't had much choice. And again, it is still subject to the EFL board granting, you know, the fact to allow Spurs to play there. And you would think, really, based on their options, or limited options, as we've said, they haven't really got much of a choice. So I want to throw a question in here from Daniel Gibson at Shelfside Dan, and we'll get all of our thoughts on this one. I'll come first to you, Ian. He says, is it time that the League Cup is took seriously by Spurs? It's our best chance to win a trophy. Play a strong team as others rotate. It's time to win a trophy. That's what creates the best memories for fans and players. Let's get your thoughts on that one, Ian.
I agree that it's nice to see your captain and your team go up to lift a trophy. I go back to what Jason has said before, where I think the last time we won a trophy, was it 2008?
Yeah.
We couldn't buy a win from that point onwards. You know, and in the end, you know, it was only due to the fact that we'd amassed enough points up to, what was it, March, that we didn't get relegated.
Yes.
You know, and I think that, yes, it, I'd love to see us win trophies, don't get me wrong. But in all of this, you know, we've got the league to look forward to. We've got the FA Champions Cup. League to look forward to. We've got the FA Cup, which will start kicking off, was it in January? Start of January normally for us?
Yeah.
And I just think that when it comes to it, unless you've got a really, really good deep squad, you know, like the Man City's. Man City could afford to win that competition last year because of the strength in depth of their squad.
Haven't we, Ian? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but don't think you think we've got a strong squad. You look at it, you think, you know, look at the options across that midfield now. You've got, you know, Moura especially coming in. You've got Lamela Sonny in there. All right, maybe an option for Kane is not, obviously, Llorente. We don't know what's happening with him. Janssen's still at the club as well.
I just look back at the bench that City had the other day, and they had Kyle Walker was on the bench at £50 million.
Yeah,
we haven't got the option to have £50 million footballers sitting on our bench. I grant you that Sissoko has been there quite a lot recently, but. If you look at the bench, you know, we've had like Harry Winks as he slowly come back, and Luke Amos, you know, and I just think that it would be great. Yes, it would be great to win trophies, and I want us to win trophies, but I don't want us to win a trophy at the expense of us being able to go for a full season next year, making Champions Leagues the norms rather than the exceptions, because, you know, we have to now be enjoying our time at the top table, Europe's top table, and I think we need to remain in it. If we get to the situation where Harry Kane plays against Watford at MK Dons and he gets an ankle rolls over again, you just look at it and you think, you know, it was that the right thing to do, and so it's a bit of a double-edged sword there. But yes, I'd love to win a trophy, but not at the expense of being missed out of Europe's top table.
Okay, Vasa, let's get your thoughts on that question, because this one always seems to come up every single season. Especially when Spurs don't go the full way in a League Cup. I mean, it must be worth reminding that Spurs, you know, in the FA Cup, last couple of seasons, we have got the semi-finals. So, the myth about Pochettino not taking cups seriously, you know, you have to say in recent years he has taken them fairly seriously in terms of his starting 11s. But, you know, what do you think, Vas, going into this competition? Should Spurs be taking it seriously as to go and win it?
I think Spurs fans are bipolar. They are, because on the one minute they're saying, take it seriously, put a, you know, full strength team out and beat, get to the final, you know, win the trophy as if it's some sort of given. All the other teams are rotating, yeah, but like Ian said, teams that generally get to the final have got fairly big squads. And I'll bet you your bottom dollar that if we did win the Carabao Cup, and didn't have much else to show for our season, there'd be a lot of people saying, oh, it's just the Carabao Cup, don't mean anything, Mickey Mouse trophy. So it's a bit, it's easy to say that we're not taking it seriously. I think what Pochettino has done these last two or three seasons is he's fielded teams strong enough to beat the opposition in front of him on that given day. And that's all he needs to do. Is put a team out strong enough to win the game. Sometimes it won't pay off. I mean, I can't remember who we lost out to in the Carabao Cup the last couple of seasons. but it's same in the FA Cup. And, you know, we've managed to get to semi-finals. You need a favourable draw along the way. You need a little bit of luck along the way, whether you play your strongest team or not. It's cup football at the end of the day. You just got to put yourself in with the best chance of winning that particular game on the night. And I think Pochettino will do that. If it happens, it happens. But Ian's absolutely right. I think we've spent years trying to fend off this criticism of being in the shadow of our rivals. And the only way to stick it to them is to keep them in our shadow while we play Champions League football and they don't. They'll be watching Corras on a Wednesday night, won't they, or something, these guys. So, I don't have a strong view on it. I'd love us to win a trophy. I really would. But I think we need to see the bigger picture. As long as Pochettino's fielding a strong enough team to beat Watford and whoever else we draw in this competition, then that's fine by me.
Okay, interesting. You know, you mentioned there, Vass, about the squad deep enough. There will be people out there saying, well, hold on a second. You've got Vorm, that's a capable backup goalkeeper. If you look at the defence now, you've got Rose, Davis, left-back, you know, left-backs there. Aurea Trippier, you got there. You got Foyth, who's, you know, can come in at centre-half as well.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got Sanchez
got
also
Sanchez
coming at centre-half.
Well, yeah.
You look at the midfield, you've got Winks.
Already.
Winks are going to need games. You know, Sissoko, yeah. I know everyone will say it, he's going to need games. Lamella, you know, Sonny, Moura, there's so many options in midfield. Ali you've got, and then obviously Lorente, if he's still here. Janssen, you know, come Christmas, he doesn't get a move, he might need games. So do you not think the squad itself, is it still not deep enough for you to think the challenge for this competition?
I think on reflection, you're probably right that the squad has got stronger. I think last year we had that many injuries, it just felt like it wasn't very deep.
Yeah.
But now we've got players coming back, it's certainly starting to look stronger. And of course, we've still got Wanyama to come back.
Exactly, Wanyama,
if he can overcome this knee issue. But it probably gives Pochettino the ability to rotate. But I tell you what, if he rotates and plays, for example, Sanchez at the back with Foyth, for example, you know, you bet your bottom dollar people will be going, why isn't he playing Alderweireld and Vertonghen?
He can't
you know?
Win, can he? He won't be able to win.
No,
yeah.
No, it's one of them, really.
So yeah. Do you think then, Vass, given that you say that, do you think maybe then you should look to bring in some of the youngsters, the likes we saw, you know, pre-season, the likes of Skip, Amos, Juju, is that where you maybe use this competition, depending who the opponent is? You know, Watford, is that an opportunity to bring these kind of guys in, do you think, to maybe feature?
I don't think he'll go that deep in his squad for right. Watford. I mean, it's a Premier League team.
Yeah,
they're unbeaten at the moment as well.
We've got this weekend as well, so, can't forget.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll be a marker too. I think he'll only go that deep into the squad depending on the opposition. And it goes back to what I said earlier. As long as he's fielding a team that is strong enough to win that particular game, then, you know, I can't really complain, because then it's down to the players to do what's asked of them and to perform, and then hopefully the result follow.
Mm. Ian, is that how you see it for you? Would you be looking to maybe, you know, League Cup? As I mentioned there, you've got some of these youngsters that are on the fringes. We saw that we've lost the likes of Keenan Bennett in the summer. Obviously a couple of other players as well. Is this where you do feel you need to be giving some of these youngsters the opportunities to know that they are going to be on the pathway to the first team? The likes of, as I mentioned there, the Skips, the Yamoses, the Georgios. Would you be inclined to throw them in this kind of game, or do you think this is, again, a bit too early for these guys just yet?
I think if Poch thinks that they're good enough, then they get a chance in the first team. I'm just minded of that trip, like the Liverpool a few seasons ago, where we did put out a slightly weakened team and we come away with nothing, you know. And I just think that, you know, it's a fine line that you have to make as to how much rotation you put out for the opponents that you've got on the night. If, as I said, why not? If Poch thinks that the Skips and the Amoses can go out and do a job for us, then great. You know, they'll get a good old cheer, and, you know, from the crowd, and from those people that support the team. So, yeah, why not?
Mm. I think the aspect is about this League Cup is that, you know, we've mentioned that argument before, that if Spurs were to finish fifth and win the League Cup, you'd argue that it wouldn't be seen as a successful season. But if the League Cup was used as maybe a springboard, should I say, that's for the rest of the season, and use the kind of momentum gainer rather than a drainer, then wouldn't that be seen as a positive as such? You've got the first trophy on board. Remember, we had Troy Townsend on last year who said to us, look, you use that League Cup as a trophy to say, look, we've done it, boys. We've got the first one over the line. And then you use that as a springboard for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Only if the mentality is different.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when we won it in 2008, you know, there was a bit of, I don't know whether we took the fact that we'd won that trophy the right way.
Mm.
If it means that the team is going to take it the right way and think, right, we're winners now, let's go on and win other things, then great. But I don't want it to be at the expense of other things.
Most certainly hear you. Vass, let's get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I don't think Pochettino is the type of manager that isn't going to keep motivating his squad.
Yeah,
I've seen the League Cup victory act as a bit of a trying to take their foot off the gas because it's been a path into Europe. It's job done. It's a trophy in the cabinet, and they've took the foot off the gas. I don't think Pochettino would allow that to happen, and he will most definitely use it as an incentive for the players to say, look, you've done this, so now let's move on and we can do this and this. So I don't really think it'll have a negative effect if we win it. We should try and win it. We should field teams strong enough to win the games in the competition. And if we get it, then great. But we've got to see the bigger picture for the club as well.
Yeah, must be said also, we've seen Chelsea and Liverpool drawn. Those are two teams that you would expect to be in amongst the kind of semi-finals, finals. So if those teams go out, Vass, you know, you never know, do you? You know, it's not, in this kind of competition, it's not really a long path to the final here either.
No, absolutely right. And, you know, we've got close before. I mean, don't forget, we've been to two of these finals in recent years. One under Pochettino.
That's right, yeah.
And we went also with Harry Redknapp, didn't we?
Yeah.
We came out losers. A few FA Cup semi-finals along the way as well. So it's not like we're not taking these domestic trophies seriously, but you do need, as I said earlier, a little bit of luck too. You need the draw to open up. You need a bit of fortune in the game. I don't know. But as long as the team is strong enough to beat the opposition, then you're in with a chance, and that's all you can do.
Most certainly. Well, the final question I've got to ask tonight, and this is a no-brainer, isn't this one? Ian, quadruple, it's still on, isn't it?
It's on until it's off.
Like a light switch.
I love it. Vass, we're going to clear the lot, aren't we? We're going to clear the lot and win them all, aren't we?
Of course we are, Rick.
Of course we are. That's what we love
get
about the show.
Get out of the way, Tottenham are coming.
Yeah, get out of the way, Spurs are coming. I've got to ask you, chaps, you're here. We did talk about Watford in the League Cup. Let's talk about the Premier League very quickly for this coming weekend. Same as Spurs, unbeaten in this one. It's the title challenge, isn't it? It's a title decider, this one already. We're only a couple of games in. Vass, how are you seeing this weekend pan out against Watford?
Well, it'll be tough, no question. I mean, they've won three as well. Same as us.
Yep.
It will be a marker for the club to see how we perform off the back of a great victory at Old Trafford. So it's another away day. I think we're capable of winning it, no question at all. So, yeah, I'm quietly confident, but never overconfident because I'm a Spurs fan.
Agree. Well, that's all that's fast, isn't it? You can't help it. Ian, let's get your thoughts then on that.
Well, I go back to that horrible game last season, and it was a horrible game. You know, they were in our faces. They were kicking lumps out of our players, and I think that we owe them one. You know, I want us to go there and put them in their place because you know, they got away with loads last season at their ground, and I just think that our team who will remember that, and I think that they'll be up for it, and you know, having seen, you know, what Moura did to Man United, I want more of that on
Sunday. I love it. Fantastic. Oh. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely love it.
I'll get me coat.
Got to say, before we wrap up, just a massive, massive, well, congratulations to Sonny. He's reached the final of the Asian Games. That's one game away now from, you know, being exempt from the military service. You know, it's been an incredible achievement. You can see what it means to Sonny as well with some of the clips that we've shared on the Last Word on Spurs Twitter account. This is massive, Vass, isn't it? If you can win this, then, God, we haven't got this thing hanging over us about Sonny potentially being exiled from Spurs for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, absolutely. It's crucial. The downside, of course, is that they're playing Japan, who are a very good outfit themselves.
Yeah.
So it's going to be squeaky bum time on Saturday. I think they're kicking off at 12:30 UK time. I'm not sure if the game's being televised anywhere. It would be nice if it was. But got to wish Sonny and the South Korea team all the best. And hopefully they'll do it because it'll be a massive load off of your shoulders. I mean, you could see how disappointed he was that South Korea didn't progress in Russia. Not that they really had any chance of winning it, but I think they might have got some dispensation as players had they done their country proud and maybe got to a semi-final. Because I think that's something that happened with Park Ji-sung from Manchester United back in the day. I think this is the opportunity now. One game away and he's a free man.
Exactly. Ian, coming over to you just to wrap up. I mean, we love Sonny, don't we? Such a humble, honest guy. I love that smile. If he can win this, then it would be a great, you know, weight off Spurs' mind as well to have the opportunity to obviously have him back at the club number one and two, to not worry about this whole issue over him potentially having to, you know, go and do military duty.
Oh yeah, exactly. And you know, it would be horrified for him to be, you know, away from Tottenham for 2 years. You know, and you know, I just hope that him and his team can overcome the Japanese. As Vass said, they're a tough outfit, as we saw from some of their games in the World Cup. But yeah, we want to see his smiling face back at Tottenham and for what he brings to the team, you know, because like I've said before, you know, we need lots of different options as the season progresses, and Sonny will be one of them for sure.
Most certainly, most certainly. Well, I've got to just say to finish up, Vass, thank you ever so much for joining us. And Vass, I've got to say, Hotspur America, it's going places this season. I'm so, so pleased for you personally. I know the amount of time you put into that podcast. Can you just give our listeners a reminder of where they can find that pod? They've got to hear it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you can get it off the usual spaces, iTunes. We usually post out a link on our Facebook site, Spreaker link, so you can find Hotspur America on Facebook and listen to the pod from there. It's up on a few other Spurs forums as well. But you can follow us on Twitter at Hotspur America. We're on Instagram and Facebook, as I've said. But yeah, we've been going for a few years, but I think we're gathering some traction now, which is pleasing, and getting some great feedback. So that's always nice.
Yeah, first pot to drop, guys, of a weekend, this one. Always bear in mind a good Monday morning commute. And obviously, you got Last Word on Spurs. That wraps it all up for you. And I've got to say, Ian, thank you ever so much for joining us tonight. A regular, of course, Ian. Great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me back, Rick. It was it's always a pleasure and a privilege to be talking all things Spurs with you guys on the Last Word on Spurs.
Lovely. Well, Ian, you'll be back on throughout the season, as I'm sure Vass will be too. Guys, enjoy the show. We've got some fabulous, fabulous bumps to look forward to. Champions League, big, big nights. Real glory, glory Spurs nights to look forward to coming up in the near future, wherever Spurs are going to be holding these games. As always, enjoy the show and come on, you Spurs.
Podcast Network.